Our sermon text and our message will be from the book of Ruth, the Old Testament book of Ruth. And I wish to read from Ruth chapter 2, verses 4 through 12. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Then Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is a Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then Boaz said unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go on to the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." It's always interesting to take a passage of Scripture from the Old Testament because you want to somehow tie it into the New Testament message of the redemption. But I have two things to say about that. The Bible, from the first verse of Genesis to the end verses of the Bible in the New Testament, are God's redemption plan. Our God planned our redemption from before the world was created. And that story is revealed bit by bit from the Old Testament right through the New Testament. Secondly, we think sometimes in our mind that somehow Christ didn't come known to everybody until the New Testament time. And that, in a sense, is true. God did not reveal himself through Christ until the New Testament, until that time, and the Holy Spirit as well. But make no mistake that in the Godhead, the Trinity that we believe in, Christ was working in this story, and the Holy Spirit was working in the lives of the members of this story. I have to say that, and I've said before, that Ruth is one of my favorite books of the Bible. Well, I'm mistaken in that, because it's actually my favorite book of the Bible. I find myself when I pick up the Bible and I'm not going to think about anything to read, I turn to Ruth. I don't know why that is. My daughter got stuck with that name because I love that story. It is a short story. It is probably one of the greatest short stories in all of literature in any language that's ever been written. It's four chapters long, and it actually takes 15 minutes to read. I've timed it. So I encourage every one of you after this sermon to sometime before next Sunday to read that book. It can be done in 15 minutes. Over coffee before you go to work, or over lunch before you go back out to do whatever you're doing. I said that this book covers a story, and it covers a story in four chapters. And chapter one covers about 10 years in this story. And chapter 2 covers about 3 months in this story. Chapter 3 covers basically one day. And chapter 4 covers the remainder of that 24-hour period and then a year. So the story is told basically in 4 chapters, and it covers roughly 13 to maybe 14 years, depending on how you count. And I want to give a small synopsis without reading the whole. I could do the whole sermon by reading for 15 minutes and calling it quits there, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit. So I'm going to give a short synopsis of the book of Ruth. We all know that the story starts with Ruth and her husband leaving Bethlehem to go to Moab for probably a short period of time because there was a famine throughout Israel. And they took their two sons with them. Now, there's two things about that. In God's direction to the people of Israel, he did not want the Israelites to have much to do with the surrounding tribes, especially those tribes that were pagan. And Moab was pagan. Moab was an on-again, off-again, unfriendly tribe next to Israel. God definitely had a prohibition against Israelites marrying pagan women, or vice versa. It wasn't to be done. The story doesn't criticize any of the participants, but that's something that you have to look at in the undertone of this story. So they go out for what was going to be a short period of time, but they stay there for 10 years. Somewhere in that period of time, early on probably, Naomi's husband dies. And then some other time, her two sons marry Moabite women, Ruth being one, Orpah being the other. But probably near the end of that 10-year period of time of the first chapter, both of those young men died, leaving two widows and a third widow that had also lost both of her children. Going out full, thinking about what are we going to do next? So, Naomi says, it's time that I go back to Bethlehem, back to Israel. But both Orpah and Ruth plead with Naomi to let them go with her. And she has to convince them twice, this is not a wise decision for you. I can't bear any more children. There's nobody in my line to take over the position of your lost husbands. Don't come with me. Go back to your family. Go back to where you can find husbands there. I'll return alone. And after two times, Orpah does, probably in one sense, doing the common sense thing, she does return. But Ruth does not. And she pleads a third time to let her go with Naomi back to Israel, to Bethlehem, with these words. Very familiar words that everybody knows, but let's read them again. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that, that's when Naomi saw that, she was steadfastly minded to go with her. She left speaking unto her. Now I want you to think for a second in this. This says tremendous amount about Ruth, and that's why the story focuses on Ruth. But think for a second of two daughters-in-law who have lost their husbands, living close to their own families, and then thinking about leaving those families and returning to Israel with a mother-in-law. Does that make sense to you? She must have been a very good mother-in-law. But more than that, she must have been a mother-in-law that not only was a loving and kind mother-in-law, someone that they loved enough to put their time and their love and their life with, but also their mother-in-law must have, especially with Ruth in mind, must have exhibited all that the God of Israel lived through them. The Holy Spirit was working in Ruth's life. Ruth's conversion, Ruth's faith came from the Holy Spirit, but it worked through Naomi. So, Ruth and Naomi return to Bethlehem. And when they come into Bethlehem, townsfolk said, haven't seen her for 13 or 14 years. They're glad to see her. She's changed, obviously. They're happy. But she said, in a sense, bitterly, that I left full and I came back empty. But when you think of it, she didn't really come back empty, did she? She came back with Ruth. And the story will flow from there. And we go on to the second chapter. 3 months. Coming at the time of the barley harvest, which is in the early summer, and it goes through the wheat harvest, which is in the late summer, early fall. Those are the 3 months of chapter 2. Now they come back to a home that Naomi probably had with her husband, but no means of gathering grain because nothing's been planted in those fields. They have a shelter, but they have no means of earning money, no means of taking care of themselves. And Naomi is actually rather older at that time. Ruth is young. And Ruth says, I'll go out and glean in the fields. And gleaning basically at that time was a way for poor people, those that didn't have much money or ways of taking care of them, could go into a field and take the remains of the wheat or the barley or whatever was planted that the reapers were reaping for their own owners and take basically the leftovers. And the reading that I had for opening this text was that initial day that Ruth was in the field that she chose to glean from. She was hardworking, she was diligent, she worked all morning, she took a short break, she went back and worked again. And who should come back to the field but the owner by the name of Boaz? And he doesn't go right up to Ruth and ask her, well, what are you doing here? He goes to his foreman. And what does he say when he goes to the foreman? He says, the Lord bless thee. And what does the foreman say back in return? The Lord be with you. Do you see the relationship already of Boaz with the people that he has hired to do all of the fields that he has with them? It's a good relationship. He respects them. They respect him. And so he notices this woman following after the people that are reaping in his field and asks his foreman, who is this woman? And the foreman is the one that says, it's Ruth. It's the one that came back with Naomi. And she got here early in the morning, and she's worked diligently ever since. So then Boaz goes over and says to Ruth, come here, work in my fields. Work in my fields and stay by my maidens and stay by the people that are reaping. Get close to them. Don't go anywhere else. I will protect you, and you can have your lunch with us as well. And she responds to him, why all of this kindness? And he says, I've already heard about you. Everything that I've heard about you is good. How you came out of Moab, a pagan country, to follow a god that you did not know in Moab, and to follow a mother-in-law that had nothing really to offer you any longer. May the Lord recompense you mightily for that. And then later on, he tells his foreman this. And when she was risen up to glean, probably later on in the afternoon, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. And verse 19 in chapter 2. And her mother-in-law, Naomi, said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is next of kin or near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvests. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Think for a second on the characters of both Ruth and Boaz. Both of them industrious. Both of them hardworking. Both of them kind to those that work for them, to those that work with them. Both of them recognizing good character in others. And to Naomi's credit, she recognizes all that's going on. Boaz is not necessarily a young man. Ruth is a young woman. So now we come to chapter 3, one day. This is what Naomi says after about 3 months of seeing what's going on and seeing the kindness of Boaz and hearing how they talk about Ruth. And hearing maybe even how Boaz talks about Ruth. All of this coming to Naomi's eyes, and she said, there is a plan. Ruth, what I would like you to do is go to the field in the evening, and when Boaz falls asleep, lay at his feet. And when he awakens, ask him to be the kinsman redeemer. And she does do this without hesitation. And I'll read from that chapter 3. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. That one verse indicates Ruth's request that Boaz redeems her and Naomi by marrying her. She's asking him to marry her, in effect. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. For thou hast showed more kindness in the latter and than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. So they finish, he says, don't leave now. Wait until early morning, but leave early enough that no one sees you. And he gives her extra grain to bring back to Naomi. And Naomi tells Ruth, wait on Boaz. He will not let the day pass without taking care of this matter. Now, chapter 4 basically is a story of what Boaz does. Boaz knows he's not the nearest kinsman. There is one closer. So he has to offer that, in a sense, to the nearer kinsman. And again, that's a tradition of that old time, to redeem someone who lost her husband to carry the line through. It's not something we do today. If I were to pass, I wouldn't expect one of my brothers, if available, to marry Grace, for instance, automatically. That's something that was done then. It's not done now, so it's a little bit different now. But that was what was done then. But we see 3 months for Boaz and Ruth to know each other, to see each other's virtues. So Boaz goes to the front gate of Bethlehem, gathers the nearest kinsmen and 10 other men of the city, and sits them down and says to the nearest kinsmen, Naomi's land, in effect, she wishes to have her property redeemed. She wishes to be redeemed. Would you be willing to do this? And the man says, sure. I think he thought that it would be good to have that extra land, and that's not a wrong thing to want. It expands his holdings, and hopefully will end up giving Ruth enough money, or not Ruth, but Naomi, enough money to live on. But Boaz says, the instant you agree to this, you also agree to marry Ruth. And the man scratches his head and says, I don't think I can do that. I have already too many heirs to my property. To marry Ruth and have other heirs would compromise my inheritance. So he refuses graciously. It's all in God's plan. But he does refuse. And Boaz says, I then, as the next nearest kinsman, will redeem Ruth and take her as my wife. And he takes off his shoe as a sign of fulfilling that contract before the 10 men of the city, and says, this is my promise. And so the story then continues very quickly that Boaz does marry Ruth, and within about 9 or 10 or 11 months, Ruth bears a child named Obed. And Naomi is full of joy and gladness for having her redemption through Ruth. That's not the end of the story, though, is it? Because it very clearly says in those last verses of the chapter that of Obed, Jesse was born. And of Jesse, David was born, King of Kings of Israel. And through King David, Jesus Christ. You look at this story and you say, 4 short chapters that can be read in 15 minutes, what does it have to say theologically? And I can hardly think of a book of the Bible except maybe the New Testament epistles that really fill our minds with what we need to know as Christians. But in the Old Testament, a short story of 3 remarkable people. First, Ruth was a Moabitess, was she not? She was not a Jew. She was not an Israelite. And it illustrates that God's redemptive plan, even in the Old Testament, was going to be and was offered to all people. And as it says in the prophet Habakkuk, the only requirement was that you have faith in that same God. The redemptive plan was offered to all people, and that is absolutely clear in the book of Ruth. Second, the redemptive plan is offered not to men only, is it? It's offered to women. It's offered to everybody, and in that everybody is included of women. And I find it remarkable that of the 4 women that are named in the genealogy of Christ in the book of Matthew, those women being Tamar and Rahab and Bathsheba, although her name isn't actually mentioned, it's the wife of Uriah, and Ruth, three of those women are Gentiles. They are, in a sense, from pagan tribes. And one other interesting thing, Rahab. You know who Rahab married? She married one of the spies that entered Jericho. And that relationship flowered after she and her family was saved. And they had a son named Boaz. Remarkable. Absolutely remarkable that God's redemptive plan, which can be seen in the first chapter of Genesis, actually the first prophecy of Christ's birth comes in those early chapters of Genesis, is worked through a time period when not much is really going on. It's the time of the judges. Three people, remarkable in their character, but other than that, ordinary people. Ordinary. We don't hear of Ruth after this, except in the genealogy. We don't hear of Naomi. We don't hear of Boaz, except in the genealogy as well. Remarkable individuals because of their character. Going on. The whole story, from the beginning of the chapter to the end of the fourth chapter, is showing God's providential care. His plan that we often don't see the end of, because even these characters don't see that Boaz and Ruth are going to be the great grandparents of a king. We don't see what our children or great grandchildren or our grandchildren are going to do or become. We can only pray for them. We have no idea what's going to happen. And yet, the actions that they did so clearly affected the generations to come. And a reminder, those two women left Moab with great loss, especially Naomi. No husband, no children. Ruth, young, but no husband. And they go to an uncertain future back to Israel. God's providential care took care of them in a way that we still read about today. Finally, and probably the most important thing that this points to, we sang as our offertory hymn, "There is a Redeemer." I love that song, always have. Boaz is a Christ figure in the Old Testament because he is a kinsman redeemer. Christ, Jesus, we call brother. He calls us at least his brothers and sisters, is our redeemer. And this story points to the fact that Jesus Christ, who's going to be born as a little babe in Bethlehem 1,000 years later, is going to be our kinsman redeemer. The story of Ruth ties the kingly line of Jesus through King David to Boaz and Ruth and back to Judah and Tamar, all the way back through Abraham and even Adam. What a story, isn't it? Four small chapters that can be read in 15 minutes. I truly think it's the greatest short story ever written. But what a God that we have to fulfill a plan of redemption through three ordinary people. And I ask again, take 15 minutes this week and read the whole book. In Jesus' name, amen. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Let's close with our closing hymn.